Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of the living God upon which you meditate this morning is taken from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is created in knowledge according, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, dear fellow saints, raised from spiritual death in him. It used to be that when you entered into the post office or any other government building, one of the walls would be dedicated to the 10 most wanted fugitives of the United States. There upon the wall, their faces would be, along with a listing of their crimes. If we're to believe TV westerns, then it was far more urgent in the Old West. If you've ever watched a western, then you've probably noticed the posters on the wall in the sheriff's office. If the crime was heinous enough, then those criminals were wanted dead or alive. If there was a big post office or sheriff's office in heaven, would there be posters of us? If there were such a thing, then each one of us, by birth and nature, would have our own poster. Wanted for sins against God's commandments. After all, we've all been born of sinful parents. We all have a sinful nature. We all were destined to live sinful lives. But God has had mercy on us, and he has intervened in our lives. Even though we were born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, God cleansed us of sin and made us spiritually alive through the sacrament of holy baptism. We were reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus, and have now been adopted into the family of God. We are no longer wanted, that is, sought for punishment, but now we are wanted for our God's gracious blessing. We are in this world, however, at the same time, both saint and sinner. We still have a fallen nature which clings to us. It needs to be daily put off by daily repentance and forgiveness. As long as we are here in the body, in the flesh, this will be our hourly, our daily battle to turn from sin and to walk in Christ and in the will of God. We've learned thus far that the Colossian Christians were being told that they needed to buy into certain philosophies, because they were short on wisdom and understanding. They were also being taught that they were short of Christian maturity, and so they needed to add to their faith in Jesus obedience to certain rules and regulations. But there was one more problem for the Colossians that was close to home. You see, many of them had been raised as unbelievers. They were Gentiles and proponents of false religions. They were tempted to return to their old lives and to their old ways by their former friends and neighbors. They were tempted both from the inside and the outside to return to earthly, sensual, sinful lives. And so the Spirit of God reminded them, and here reminds us, that we are dead to this world. The old man and his deeds have been put to death, nailed to the cross. The old man was buried with Christ, and we have been raised up again to live lives that glorify God. And so we say this morning, the old man is wanted dead, not alive. And so the Spirit here urges us to kill our earthly members so that they do not practice sinful activities that could hurt our relationship with God. We are urged to kill earthly attitudes, to put them off like a dirty garment that could hurt our relationship with one another. And finally, he shows us that earthly divisions drawn by sinful attitudes have no part in our Christian lives. All these our God wants dead, not alive. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. There are times when if can be a demand, a challenge, or even a question. If you clean your room, we'll go get ice cream. If you don't clean your room, you're going to be grounded. If you really cared about your things, you'd keep your room clean. But this isn't one of those examples. When the Holy Spirit directed the Apostle Paul to write, "If then you were raised with Christ," he wasn't calling it to question their relationship with Jesus. In fact, we should think of this statement more like this: since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. It's because you and I have been raised up to spiritual life through the sacrament of baptism that we are urged to actively seek out and set our minds upon heavenly and not earthly things. In fact, you notice in these first few verses here that there are two verbs that really jump out. The first is seek. The second is set your mind upon. Seek. It's easy to get caught up in the things of this world because there are just so many distractions. Think about it. There are relationships with other people. There's money and the things it can buy. There's sports and entertainment. There's nothing innately wrong with any of these things until they become more important than the most important thing and the most important person, Jesus. Rather than actively seek out earthly things, we're told here to actively seek out heavenly things. Not just in our lives from day to day, but also in our minds. The second verb, set your mind upon. It isn't just our decision making from day to day, it's what we think about. It's what we ponder, what we set our minds upon. We're to think about spiritual things like the forgiveness of sins, the benefit that we have in prayer, the promises of Christ, the spiritual wisdom and understanding that he imparts to us through his word. These are to be the things that run through our minds from day to day. If Jesus is our life, then he ought to be in our thoughts from day to day. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't take care of our earthly things. This doesn't mean that we sit in our homes and do nothing but meditate. But it does mean that we don't let these earthly things dominate our lives and our thoughts. Why not? The simple answer is in verse 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We died to this world. I know this is shocking, but we live here, but this isn't our life. This is just the coat room. This is just the beginning. Our real life hasn't even begun yet. It says here that our real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when he comes again in glory, then our real life will begin. But right now, we only see that real life like looking at something in a foggy mirror in the bathroom. Can't really see much of anything. This isn't our life. Living like everyone else for this world is not what our God wants for us. He doesn't want us to use our bodies to serve sinful things, but to serve him. That's why we have the encouragement in verses 5 through 7. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Now, I understand what it means when it says that we died with Christ, or that we were buried with him in baptism. I get the picture. But what does this mean when it tells us to put to death our members on the earth? Well, the word member refers to a part of the body, say a limb. And these words are similar to those that Jesus spoke and are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And in that place, he warns us about using our bodies for sin. They're striking words. Jesus said, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Now, of course, Jesus is not suggesting that we saw off a leg or a hand or pluck our eyes out of our heads. What he is doing is warning us. He's telling us that it would be better if we didn't have a hand or a foot or an eye than to use those members for sin. It's the same thing here. The Holy Spirit is urging us not to use our bodies for sinful purposes because it could ultimately hurt our relationship with God. And the five examples that are given here are things that are still temptations for human beings. Fornication and uncleanness, they're a pair. They go together. One is specific, sexual sin among the unmarried, and the other more broad, including all manner of perversion. Passion and evil desire are also a pair. The first referring to lust in the heart, the second, the desire to act upon it. And covetousness may seem out of place, but it isn't. You see, the first four are a lust for sex. The last one is a lust for money or possessions. And it can ultimately be idolatry if it becomes more important than God himself. No matter what our society thinks, these activities that are mentioned here are neither innocent nor are they natural. In fact, we might say that to practice these things puts us on God's most wanted list. Most wanted for judgment and punishment. Because the apostle says it's because of these things that the wrath of God is coming upon those who practice these things. Now for the Colossians, this was very personal because they had once lived and indulged in these sins. It was part of their false religion. We may be tempted by them too, which is why we are warned. But we're not just warned about the sinful activities themselves, but the attitudes that often accompany them. And so we're not to allow our bodies to be used for these pursuits, and we're not to fill our minds with these next five attitudes that go from bad to worse. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Think of it like this. It's been a long, frustrating day. Everything has gone wrong. As you drive home from work, you kind of smolder about everything that's gone wrong during the day. And then to make matters worse, when you pull into the driveway, you notice that your son didn't mow the lawn like you asked him to, and on top of it, he broke a window in the house. And that smoldering fire that was your anger goes off. Before long, you're just plain mean. And then curses, and then filthy language. Whether that's ever happened to you or not, now you understand how these words go from bad to worse. It describes how anger can rise from frustration and end up in the most shameful of words and actions. And these are not the kinds of things that our God wants coming out of our mouths, falling out of our heads. These are the kinds of things that ruin our relationships with one another. And so we're not to entertain them in our minds. We're not to give place to the devil, as the apostle says in Ephesians. They're like a bad taste in the mouth that we're to spit out. But to do so, we can't simply rely upon our own willpower. Instead, we need to be turned to the Lord Jesus and to his cross. We need to have him enable us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. All of these things are part of the old man who was put to death with Christ, but who still clings to us like a smelly, sweat-soaked t-shirt. We have to take him off and throw him away every day. In the meantime, our God is renewing the new man in us and teaching us that those old human divisions and distinctions don't mean anything to him. Where the old man is put off, there remains finally only Christ, who is above all and in all who believe. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. This list of divisions here and distinctions, the Colossians understood. Those who were Greek considered themselves cultured, wise, and they looked down on the Jews as kind of an ignorant, backward people. The Jews, on the other hand, looked down on the Gentiles as uncircumcised Gentile dogs. Barbarians were foreigners to Greek language and culture, but they weren't as bad as the Scythians. They were like savages. And then there were the free men and the slaves. Those who were not slaves looked down on slaves as if they were less than human. Possessions. There are similar distinctions today, aren't there, in our world, in our society? They might be a little different. But today, some human beings distinguish from one another on the basis of ability, wealth, race, sex, nationality, skin color. There's no such distinction with our God. Whether Greek or Jew, male or female, slave or free, black or white or otherwise, Being united to Jesus by faith, we are one in Christ. United to Him and to one another. We are all one in Christ, and He is to be the center of our universe, our focus. But the Holy Spirit wants these other distinctions, these other divisions to be dead and gone from our lives. But the only way that can happen is if the Spirit of God continues to work on us through the Word. These things all are wanted dead, not alive. They are not to find a home within us, lest we again be found on God's most wanted list. May God grant that they be eradicated from our hearts and minds, to the glory of His name. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.